You're listening to Global Heart to Heart Radio. This is Mary Alice, and today I am joined by Jim Whitaker. Jim is the owner of the Wine Cellar located in downtown Ashland. The Wine Cellar is Ashland's and Oregon's oldest premier wine shop that was established in 1980. Jim purchased the Wine Cellar last year and refurbished the entire physical store, while at the same time developing the only online wine store in Southern Oregon. Ashland Wine Cellar is a full-service wine shop. It's known for its very successful wine club and its popular, for live entertainment, weekly wine tastings. www.ashlandwinecellar.com. And now, let's hear from Jim. Welcome, Jim. It's great to have you here today.
It's great to be here. The Ashland Wine Cellar has been doing business here in Ashland for over 40 years now. Mm-hmm. It was started by a guy named Lorne Rosano, and he's kind of a local, has been a local celebrity. I don't think he's quite as ubiquitous as he used to be, but everybody knew Lorne back in the day, and he ran that shop for like 35 years and about maybe a little less than that, because I think Brian Dunnigan, who was my predecessor, bought it from him about 7 or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I bought the store from Brian a couple of years ago. So I've owned it for a couple of years. Anyway, yes, it's technically the oldest registered wine shop in Oregon, mm-hmm. even older than places in Portland. And there mm-hmm. might have been wine shops in Portland that were started before this one, but this is the one that has been around the longest so far.
Interesting. What brought you to buy a wine shop?
That's a good question. I've always been interested in wine, and I kind of have a little bit of a scholarly bent. I like to explore things and really learn about them. So when it was suggested to me that the Ashland Wine Cellar was for sale, I started to look into it. And at first I thought, well, I'm in a completely different business. I sell marketing tools to insurance agencies, basically.
Oh, that is very different.
It's quite different. I've been in communications or insurance all my life. Never been into retail sales at all like this. I mean, except to the extent that insurance, I was an insurance salesman for a while, insurance broker. But, you know, this is completely different kinds of things.
Oh, sure. It's different when you have a product in your hand.
Yeah,
that exactly. You can put on a shelf or and display, or very different because insurance, you're selling an idea.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Completely different. It's commodity. If you have a real commodity, something tangible, it has immediacy, and it's quite different. So anyway, so my wife at the time said, yeah, insurance is boring. You should do something interesting. Why don't you buy the Ashland Wine Cellars for sale? I said, okay, well, I'll take a look at it. And so I got interested, and I made an offer, and it was rejected the first time. A year later, came up for sale again. What they were asking was more attractive, and my offer was accepted. So I went into the wine business, not really knowing very much, except having studied it for the year before. Mm-hmm. I'd been taking wine classes online and going to a lot of tastings and learning about the industry the best I could, just doing a lot of deep diving into
research.
That's important because there really is a lot involved in the wine industry.
So some part of you knew you were going to do this.
I did. I kind of had a feeling that, yeah, this I was going to follow through one way or another. Even if I didn't buy, my intention at the time was, even if I didn't buy the Ashland Wine Cellar, I would probably find a way to get into the wine business because I just found it very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. So the Ashland Wine Cellar became mine, and I talked to various consultants and thought about ways in which it could become more, more appealing to people so that we could market it better. And one of the first things, of course, we had to do was change the look of it and update it and do things like that. I was fortunate, though, in so far as I acquired, with the purchase of the wine store, a woman who works there named Liza, who is really good, really knows her stuff and is very dedicated to serving people and knows a lot about wine. She's just terrific. She's been great. Her name's Liza Jusiem. Mm-hmm. And she's been around in the wine industry for about 20 years. And I think I'm not really quite sure how long in the Rogue Valley area, but probably about 10, 12 years. Very knowledgeable. So fortunate to have her. And she's been helping me plan and do a lot of the things that we've done that have made, I think, the wine cellar even more interesting and relevant to the local community.
And what are some of those?
Very personalized service. Liza does really well with customers. She gets to know their tastes well. We actually have worksheets that people complete or that we complete for them where they can inventory their interests, the types of wines you like, red, white, you like sweet, dry wines, all the different kinds of palate preferences that people have are recorded, and we use that as the basis for making personal selections for people. We don't charge anything for that. Like if you become part of a wine club, we'll actually customize your selection each month depending on whatever characteristics you've told us about or we've identified. So it's really helpful to have someone that's as knowledgeable as Liza to help us
and it's full
make
service.
Those selections. Yeah, I think so.
It services everything.
Yeah,
in
for sure.
Every business, whatever it is, services everything.
Very much.
And I understand you had live entertainment.
We had a lot of things that we can't have anymore or, you know, not for the time being. So that's been a disappointment, obviously. And it's a big disappointment to our customers, too, who want to know when that's coming back. And at this point, we can't really tell them. We can't really say anything. We had intended to have tastings again. We were going to make them limited somewhat more and curate them more highly. Before, we've had people just kind of walk in. They wander in on Friday evening and we'll do a tasting or whatever. It was sort of casual. With the change in requirements, we had to make that, or our plan was to make that a little more specific. We needed reservations and so forth. But now we don't even feel that we can do that at this point because it's sort of uncertain as to whether the governor is going to tighten restrictions again. So we're kind of reluctant to go out there and say, yes, we will do a tasting in 4 weeks and register now because the size of the tasting class is going to be limited to 16. And that was our plan.
Right.
We had intended to make announcements like that. We were going to do like Loire Valley wines, Rhone Valley wines. We had a number of things, sherry tastings and so on that we had scheduled. And now those are just being held up, just waiting to see whether we're going to be able to get through the next few weeks.
Oh boy.
Without
and
more restrictions.
Now I noticed in town, you know, they're closing some of the street, Main Street. They're barricading so that people can put some tables out on the sidewalks and maintain a distance while they're serving. Some of the restaurants are doing that.
Yeah.
Is that something that you could possibly do with having a wine tasting where you can put out a few bistro tables or something like that and have people...
Well, the reason that we were going to have tastings limited to 16 people is in terms of respecting those distances in the wine cellar. It's, you know, we have like 1,200 square feet down there, but still, if we're going to have distances between people, between tables, we can't really have a lot of people down there. So that was kind of the limit.
Right.
We don't have an outdoor space the way they do on the plazas,
so
that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because we have a parking lot. We could get the parking lot cut off, but I mean, that would kind of be a big deal.
Now, so your wine tastings aren't working anymore, but you did build up your online store.
Yes.
Has that helped to compensate for not being able to have an open storefront?
Not yet. We've only been live for about 4 or 5 weeks, so it's kind of too soon to tell. People are taking advantage of it by going online and seeing what we have in the store. And then they'll either come in or they'll call us or they'll place an online order.
Mm-hmm.
So it is starting to have some impact. We don't really expect it to have a lot of impact for another 4 or 5 months. For one thing, SEO at that point will begin to take hold. You know, search engine optimization, it'll start to work better when people go online and look for a particular kind of wine or look for us or something like that. Then the SEO, all those links that we've got out there, and we've got a lot of them because we've inventoried several hundred, if not 1,000 wines. So those wines are going to start to be found by people who go online and are looking to buy that particular wine in this area. The search engine You know, the bots are going to link us up to those people looking for those particular products, and then we'll start to have more impact with the website.
That's great.
And the other thing we'll be able to do too, I think at that point, we'll have all the kinks worked out in terms of the website and better SEO, and we'll be able to join networks of other wine shops around the country. Mm-hmm. And then when we have wines that people want in other parts of the country, They can buy them from us, and then we can ship them to New Jersey or whatever the case may be if people really want those wines.
Oh, that's great. So you don't have to live in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. So we can reach out
anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And have wines delivered to people once they've connected on your website. That's
right.
Great.
If we developed, say, a specialty, and it really is sort of a natural thing that we would have a specialization in maybe local wines. People would be able to find wines from a particular winemaker with us that maybe isn't available elsewhere, and they'll find us in these networks and we'll be able to sell that way. My understanding is that wine shops that are online, have an online presence and have had an online presence for, you know, at least a year or so, can expect to get about 20 to 30% of their business through online sales.
Pretty good.
So that would be good. That would help us a great deal for sure. I mean, but that's not going to happen for a while.
Did you start your online shop before this happened, before we were shut down?
It was kind of on the drawing board, and it was one of the last things that I was going to do in terms of seeking to make improvements after I bought it. And so it was kind of coincidental. That was the last thing to do, and it just became even more important to do it once we were locked down.
So, and you had nothing else to do but be locked down.
Exactly. So Liza and I could just enter wines all the time and provide a lot. And we have a lot of information. There's so much information now available online about the wines that we sell. I mean, if you come into the shop, you know, they have the shelf talkers that give you a brief description sometimes. We don't have shelf talkers on all the wines, but all the wines have information about them if you look them up online on our website. Mm-hmm. So in a way, if you walked around the shop with an iPhone and looked up the wines, you just get probably more information than you ever wanted about any of them, because we have documented everything.
It's a fascinating industry. You said you always liked wines anyway, and that is that something that it was just that you were a consumer and enjoyed certain wines? What kinds of wines do you showcase now? What do you feature?
Well, in terms of local wines, we try to stock wines that are not easily found in the big grocers. We don't like mass distribution wines. So if Pebblestone, Weisinger's, Troon, these are all wineries that are well known to people because they see them in Safeway. They see them in the co-op market of choice. Well, if we carry wines from those winemakers, we tend not to have the ones that are going to be well distributed. Mm-hmm. We'll have their other wines.
Right.
And that's what we have to explain to people a lot of times. They'll come in looking for something that is being mass distributed, a Malbec or something, say from Quaddy North or whatever. And we'll say, well, we don't have that one, but we have other Quaddy North ones. Right. So we try to interest them in the ones that aren't mass distributed.
Are they more top shelf or premier wines that you
they're very good
carry?
Wines. They're just not the ones that they're doing master mm-hmm. distributions of, because we don't feel that's our mission. For one thing, we can't be price competitive.
Right.
Grocery stores have a big advantage. They can be loss leaders. There are markets around here that actually sell, I won't say for sure, but I'm very suspicious that they are selling for under their costs. But they use it as a loss leader to bring people into the store.
I'm sure.
And we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. We need a healthy markup because our rent is high. I'll just be honest with you. Right. It really is high being downtown. And our sales are not anything like a grocery store sales.
Oh, of course not.
So that's why we go for the non-mass distribution wines to separate us in that respect. And then the other things that we do, of course, we have a big selection of French wines, particularly from the Loire Valley, which is Liza's specialty. She lived in France for a while, and she really knows those wines well. We also have a good selection of Italian, Spanish wines. We do bargain wines really well. We are tasting wines all the time from the distributors and trying to find really good value for under $20. So that's good. And when we select those value wines, again, we're seeking out wines that aren't necessarily going to be found. In fact, aren't. One of the taboos is if it's being sold in a local grocery store as a bargain wine, we won't pick it up. We'll pick up things that other people don't find. And a lot of times the bargain wines that you find in other stores are not bargain wines because they taste great and everything. It's because there's so much of them that they can sell them at a very cheap price. Yes. So they're selling up, they're decent wines probably, but they're being sold more because they're able to go out the door at a very low price. Well, we don't choose wines on that basis. We want a good price, but it also has to be a really good tasting wine.
That's great to know because that's your niche. And there are a lot of people who are looking for those kind of wines, that they're not looking for any kind of wine that you can buy in Safeway. They may have some of those and they're good to have in the house, whatever. From my experience, people generally are looking for those more obscure wines, the better, finer wines.
I think so. And I think maybe part of the reason that they don't come to us, they're in the store, it's convenient. You're in Safeway, you're buying other things anyway, and you want some wine. You don't want to pay a lot for it. You want something that's fairly decent. Safeway is just convenient.
Right.
And you kind of can trust what's going on there. And it's a lot of trouble to come see us. If you come and see us and you say, I want bargain wines, though, we'll help you. And you'll be a lot happier, I think, with the choices, bargain wine choices that you make with our products. Because we really do curate them. They're not just things that we're buying by the carload to stock our shelves with. Different proposition.
I'll be in your store.
Okay, well, I hope so. Look forward to seeing you down there. I mean, that's one of the nice things about having a local wine store where people really know their stuff, where they have some expertise in the wines. You don't need to rely on fancy labels or appealing labels. Yeah, there's some really good marketing going on out there. And in a way, you can be suspicious because the more effective the label, the packaging is,
right,
probably it probably doesn't bespeak well of the product underneath,
right,
if they have to try that hard to market it.
That's
right?
True. How good is the wine?
Yeah,
never
exactly.
Thought of that. See, what a wine.
So I'm not saying that's necessarily true, but it is. I think you're justified to be somewhat suspicious. But what we like to get across is to people is you've got wine experts right here in town in Ashland, and you don't need to wonder. You don't need to go to a Total Wine either, a big mass distributor. We can give you the same products they can. We deliver free if you buy $75 or more in wine.
No, that's not hard.
Yeah, two or three bottles, you're good. Anywhere in Ashland, Talent, or Medford, free delivery.
Wow.
In fact, that's really pretty much what's been sustaining us is our loyal customers and people who found us recently who buy quantities of wine from us that we deliver, and they love it. We've got customers that every other week we'll deliver a case to them.
That's a great service.
Yes. And it's something
delivery.
That we only started to do, with the onset of the pandemic. So we kind of found a new niche, and it's been helping us a lot. We wouldn't be able to do anywhere near the volume of business we're able to do if it wasn't for that.
Do you think that's a service that you will maintain?
We will definitely maintain it. Yeah.
Oh, that's
like I
great.
Said, yeah, it was sort of transformational in terms of looking for a new niche.
Oh, and it just fell in your lap.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I mean, there are there are upsides to everything.
You would rather not have had that fall in your lap.
But, take what you can get.
How do you see the rest of the downtown business transforming? Like, what's going on with the future of the businesses here in Ashland?
Well, I think it's great that the city is, blocking off the square for additional tables for the restaurants. I really fear for the restaurants. I don't know whether the landlords have been generous at all in reducing rents. They certainly should be. They really should be, because those restaurants are really struggling. My understanding is that you can't even break even with a restaurant unless you're doing 70% capacity, 65-70% capacity. And these restaurants are not doing anything. Even when they're at capacity now with this the limited distancing, they can't achieve that kind of level. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much running on fumes now, and it's just I got to wonder how long this is going to take place,
I know it's interesting. I saw a map this morning of the United States that shows, it was color-coded, starts with green,
mm-hmm.
There was not one green state, and then it goes to yellow and orange and to red. And Oregon is yellow, which was very nice to see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they showed California as orange, and I didn't really take a look too many other places. I was mostly concerned about here. But that was good. And there are a few yellow on the map in the country.
Is this a gauge of what their business climate
is
like?
It's a gauge. I'm sorry. I should have prefaced that. It's a gauge of how things are going with this COVID and, you know, how many cases there are and how if things are slowing down or getting any better in places. There's quite a few states that are in way worse shape than we are.
Yeah.
And though I know this is affecting our local economy in a devastating way, I can't imagine in states that are really running rampant how bad they're doing and how long it will take them to recover. I have some good faith that we'll hang in there and recover well because we're on the path, I think, to recovery.
We've been locally very fortunate. The case number is still not significant when you compare it to other counties and especially to Portland. So, and I've talked to doctors who say that they can't even believe how well we're doing down here. We've got a lot of places where nursing homes and places that really should have become problematic and they're not. So very well controlled down here.
I know. And that's what makes me feel good that things will pick up from local business.
Yeah, I think so.
Again.
I agree with you. And I hope so. I'm optimistic as you are.
So what else can you tell us about the wine cellar, your website, anything you would like?
You know, we would love to do tastings again, and I hope we do. It's the question we get from people most is, when are we going to do tastings again? Because we had a nice social group going down there. When we did the tastings, we had the regulars come out, and people had a great time, and they miss it. And the music was helping with that, too. We had some great bands. That was fun. The COVID thing has changed the whole way we're doing business. Like I said, we're depending now on the case sales. We're depending actually, and I really am appreciative of our customers who've come through and been loyal to us. It's not that we're not delivering a great product to them, but they have been supportive of us. And if we haven't had that kind of support, we wouldn't even be doing as well as we're doing. So I do want to, if any of our customers listen to this broadcast, I want them to know how very appreciative we are, Liza and I, of their support through this. And yeah, I hope that we can continue to provide them the service and the quality of product that they've come to deserve and, you know, are entitled to.
This is Mary Alice, and I hope that you enjoyed that conversation with Jim Whitaker as much as I did. It's always great to hear about how the businesses are doing in Ashland these days. And so I thank you, Jim, for your time with us today. If you're interested, you can go to ashlandwinecellar.com. Thank you for listening in to Global Heart to Heart Radio. This is Mary Alice, with love from my heart to yours.